and this is the Nonprofit Corner Podcast with your host, Dr. Victoria Boyd. And welcome to the Nonprofit Corner Podcast with your host, Dr. Victoria Boyd. We have one of my favorite topics, and you'll understand why soon. We're going to be talking about grant writing, and everybody seems to think that they want a grant. We're going to go into that more, but let's first talk about who we have as a guest today. This is Stephanie Schweitzer Dixon, and she is with SSD Consulting. She's on the East Coast, way over there. I know, because I'm on the West Coast, but it doesn't matter anymore. But thank you for being a guest on the Nonprofit Corner Podcast. And you actually have 25 years in the sector. You know, it takes a lot of heart and grit to stay in this sector for 25 years. But go ahead and tell us some background. Tell us how you got even into the nonprofit sector and maybe what has kept you around for so long.
So, you know, I have not always lived on the East Coast. I used to live in the Midwest.
Okay.
In actually a small rural community in South Dakota, where that, what you said there, you know, everybody wants a grant. How do I get a grant? And I started grant writing living in a small community where I started with a library. Okay. And it didn't take, you know, the 6-digit figure grant for word to spread that there was a way to get grant money, which is always perceived as that free money. Easy to do, easy to find.
Yeah, right. I'll just say that. I'll probably be saying that throughout the whole show. Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. And that was kind of the mentality as I worked there for a few years, and everything from museums to the clinic to the fire department to the schools wanted to get grants. And that's understandable living in working and breathing in the nonprofit world. But when they found out that was a viable option, I got very busy. Eventually, I didn't want to continue to just write grants. I wanted to be more involved in the nonprofit world. So I stayed in South Dakota, but I went to a little bit larger community and took a job as the executive director of a small nonprofit organization where what they were looking for, even though it was a mental health agency, what they were looking for was somebody who had grant writing experience, someone who had the ability to understand the nonprofit, get money, keep the doors open, keep the organization going. And so my first year or two, I probably spent 50% of my time writing grants. The other 50% of the time was starting to build things up, starting to get familiar with, run and expand community programs. And so after the 13 years that I was there, I done everything from write the grant, after finding the grant, write the grant,
right,
build a program.
Yeah,
build
and most nonprofits don't understand.
Yeah, they don't understand
the
what's
back end stuff, you know? But we'll talk about that.
No, you're absolutely right, because then I was also managing the grant.
Wow.
And that's what people did not understand. And actually, prior to taking that job, I had written some grant writing manuals and taught some grant writing workshops. So people understood the back end of it.
Yes.
They just thought, you know, send a message, send a letter back then, mail it in, you know, and you would hear back from them. They would just send you a check and never hear from them again. Well,
woo-hoo!
That was the dream that, you know, my workshops had quite a few people right away because they were not understanding, why do we have to submit this, this, and this? And why is this so detailed? And you were talking about logic models is something you teach. That word wasn't even familiar to half the organizations.
Absolutely.
I worked with. And why do we even do that? And so I taught that. I taught 3 different courses. And then I became so busy with running the nonprofit that just encumbered me because I had to do all the financial reporting, the grant, the final reports to foundations, state and federal agencies. Then I moved to Massachusetts just simply because I wanted a different environment. I
Absolutely. Yeah.
needed,
I
more
get it.
services, the more everything that comes
Yes.
with living on the East or West Coast.
Yes, I get it.
I stayed in the mental health. I was kind of more involved in the mental health realm of things than the nonprofit grant writing realm of things. So for a couple of years, I took a job working in that, working with first responders, and it was only a part-time job. And so here I am, back to doing what I started doing 25 years ago, of writing grants and doing everything from searching for grants, writing grants, building the project, which seems to be the toughest thing for people because there's that whole mentality again, we're going to get a grant for X, Y, and Z, and it's going to be as simple as that. And it's
We're
not.
going to be busting a bu bunch of bubbles today.
Yeah, this is great because I hope that people better understand that even if you want to hire a grant writer, they're going to
Are
put a
certain
bunch of
items.
information out there for you.
Yes. I
You
mean,
need to
I've been
do to
posting
know.
recently. I'm going to tap into that. I've been posting recently a lot. So you're thinking about a grant. And I've even said, the biggest complaint I get from grant writers is that the organizations aren't grant ready.
Absolutely.
And that's on many different levels. They don't understand what a grant really means, nor do they have the documentation ready for the grant writer. And they get upset when the grant writer, I hope they do, I'm just ask and says, well, if you want me to add and write that too, it's going to be more money. You know, I'm being realistic on this is our profession. We're consultants and we help organizations get what they need so that, you know, but if you writing a grant is one thing, you know, you're filling out the grantor's application via what they want. But if the organization can't give you their information, who's going to write it?
It's going to develop this. I
Right.
mean, and it's going to take me a lot of research,
Yes.
communicating, learning to be able to develop a successful program for you when I'm not an integral part of your
Right.
organization or
And
your
that,
program. I don't run it, you do.
yeah, it should not be your responsibility to write the back end or have what is called the content or abstracts or all of the detail case statement, whatever you want to call it. You know, eventually out today, I'll be calling it your program plan. But you know, but that's a key element that many, and I'll say small to mid nonprofits who haven't had a lot of grant experience, but yet they think, oh, we need to get a grant, that they need to do their homework first. And yeah, so I'm sorry I interjected and stopped
You're
you on your
fine.
flow.
It's probably the biggest thing, and it's the biggest hindrance that I have found to grants being awarded and really being able to work together to get them is when
Yes.
you don't have, I want money to run a after school program, for example. Okay, but you can't just ask somebody and say just that. And
Yeah.
so I tell people to think about it from the donor's perspective. If somebody's giving you money, and a lot of money, regardless of how much money they have and how much money they have to give, it's the
Want
fact
to
of
know
if
where
you
it's
give the
going.
money, you want to know what they're doing with it. I
Right.
want to know what somebody's doing
Or
with the
what
rest of the
change
donor's
in the
money.
world is, what impact is it having? You know, and like you said, yes, donors want to know that. And a lot of times nonprofits get wound up in me, me, me. We do this, we need this, we want to, you know, instead of looking, like you said, from the donor's perspective, and that's called donor-centered fundraising, where what do they want? They want appreciation, recognition, and communication. Those, you know, top three things. And so how are you going to do that? Same thing with grantors. But grantors specify what they're interested in.
They give you the details so they don't make it hard.
Right.
And
Yeah, you know,
they don't make it that hard.
and I've seen many organizations, I call it chasing the money, where they don't really have a program that aligns with what this grantor is giving money for. And they said, well, we can create that program. No.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah,
Get
that's
out
called
from under.
chasing the money. Okay. that's where I got to the whole compass thing, that your mission is your compass and everything should be aligned with that. Okay, so anything else you want to add about your background and what you do? You said you write manuals, you give grant writing workshops, or understanding more about the whole intricacies of the grant world. Is it actual writing at workshop?
My first introductory workshop was more the intricacies of the grant writing process, which is where the five key steps came from that we're going to talk about in a little bit. I did one that was more advanced
Okay.
because it incorporated the logic model. It incorporated, more of the things that need to be written in. So it was more, it wasn't like how to write, but it was a combination of the intricacies and the practice of writing. When we
Fantastic.
were, more all in person and we sat down and we talked through things and you'd do a 2-day workshop, you'd spend a couple hours out of those 2 days
Yeah.
just talking with others and practicing some of the writing. It wasn't extensive writing, but it was how to write the goals,
Yeah.
how to write the SMART objectives, how to and what to put into the logic model and an evaluation component. So it was a combination of both.
Okay.
I have to get more involved in the tech side of things. I have started to develop an online course, but it's more
Fantastic.
the intricacies of it.
Yes.
So moving to the virtual world, I've just decided to move along with it. And so can teach it in the way of teaching the intricacies, but you can do a virtual training where people sit down and talk about or sit in breakout rooms and talk about
Absolutely.
those goals and objectives.
Absolutely. I mean, all of my training has gone virtual since the pandemic. I used to have a
Yeah.
brick and mortar actual building where we did training. But, pandemic will make you rethink a lot of things. And actually, it has been quite successful, our transition to all virtual. So it was actually a good thing for us.
It had a lot of good things to it. It was
Yeah. Well,
obviously for those in
I
there,
really
but it was
appreciate
nice
that
and
now
close.
many, many, many more people, including nonprofits, understand how to get access to more information because of the virtual access platform. Before, they, oh, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to use Zoom. I don't know how to do that. But now,
You have to.
if, yeah, you have to.
You have to.
Yes, it's sort of crazy. Okay, one last thing we take before we take a break. I mentioned grant writers. I hear from them. What would be the top three challenges you experience as a grant writer on a, I'll say that are most common that the organizations aren't doing or providing you with, or,
The biggest thing was what we just talked about, not having a developed program,
Yeah.
not being involved enough in developing that program. The second thing, which I think is more, it probably always has been, but I see it more today, is data.
Yeah.
I research census data to tell the picture of what your community's situation is versus housing versus, runaway youth. I can look all that up on the internet. That's all there. What I can't look up is what is your data? Who do you serve? How many people? How
Yes.
many people? And some organizations, this is this very, basic data we serve, 325 youth, 365
And
days a year.
that, okay.
But it's
Yeah.
much more than that when
I'll
it comes
talk about that later.
to,
Yes, go ahead.
it's absolutely.
Absolutely.
The other one, I think that the other one that is that they expect the grant writer to do it all. Everything from that program planning to the data part to the budget to who's involved. I mean, there's all those key things that is required in the grant that after a while I thought, okay, I'm making this up and this is not ethically right.
Yes.
I can't just make this up so you get the money. And I think that I know from running a nonprofit, people who work in the sector get very busy, and it is challenging for them to put the time into it. But if you want the money, need the money, need the staff,
Yeah.
you need to invest a little bit of
Yeah.
time in order to get it.
Absolutely. Though, I mean, absolutely, point three there, because That's why, like I said, we're going to be busting a lot of bubbles here today. That's why a lot of organizations that come to me and they're talking grants, 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 and I just tell them flat out, you're not ready.
And that's probably very true for most all of them that are
Yeah,
just
you're,
expecting all
but
that.
why, you haven't done the fundamentals. This, you haven't put in place the systems to
Exactly.
gather that data. How are you evaluating to get that? Is it formative, summative, qualitative, quantitative? How are you?
Those are words they don't
They
know.
don't know those words. And that's why we're going to be talking about the logic model, because it includes all of that. With that said, we are going to take a quick break and we will be right back with the Nonprofit Corner podcast in just a moment. Want to make sure that your organization is grant ready? Then you must have your programs in the logic model. To learn more and to find training, go to lmpp.now.site. And welcome back to the Nonprofit Corner podcast with your host, Dr. Victoria Boyd, and a fantastic guest. This is Stephanie Switzer Dixon. She is a grant writer. She has tons of experience. She is hitting the key points. She's dropping nuggets here that you nonprofits need to be paying attention to, because from the grant writer's perspective, these are things that she needs from you, and it's not her responsibility. So we're going to get into five key steps for successful grant writing. Now, I'm sure this will overlap in you as a grant writer that can be hired, which I recommend most organizations do that, because never mind. I just recommend I could go on with it. But it's key things that you, sometimes I say they should be there whether you're getting grants or not. So
That's
tell
for
us
sure.
about, okay, your first line here is grant writing is a process. I totally agree. Let's talk a little bit more about that.
I broke the five steps down. We already talked about the planning process, and that's the first step, but I broke that into two steps
Okay.
because it's so vital. It's just so vital to say, we already mentioned, don't just go to somebody and say, we need money. Here, get us money for an after school program. Have you even assessed, and that's one of the preliminary planning stages, process of the preliminary planning stage, say that funny,
Right.
is what have you assessed the community need? Yes, sometimes you can do the community needs assessment. It does not have to be that formal. It's what internally have you done as a staff, as an organization, to determine the need. We all know there's a need for housing. We all know there's a need for substance use and mental health services. We all know those needs. But again, what does it look like in your community? If you are, for example, providing behavioral health and mental and substance use services, my goodness, that can be anything from a small nonprofit I used to run to the largest nonprofit healthcare provider in the country.
Absolutely.
So you have to divvy out, and that's what I aligned in my book. That's what I talked to people about is, let's prioritize those needs. There could be 20 needs under there. There could be 200 needs under there. You certainly cannot tackle them all.
I always
And
tell
what
them, look, what
most
makes you
doable.
unique? How are you different from all of these other organizations?
And how are you going to accomplish it?
Yes.
The money isn't going to solve it. I mean, just dropping you a $300,000 or $3 million check is not going to solve the problem.
No, uh-uh.
It has to be properly implemented with the right staff, with the ability to sustain it afterwards. And all those are things that, even though we write that into the grant and you do your sustainability when it's over with, you must prepare for your sustainability ahead of time. Is this something we can even sustain afterwards, or is it just going to be a temporary band-aid in some situations?
Right.
And funders nowadays, they look at that. They've always looked at that. When you get into the more primary planning stages, it's again, who's going to be involved, but how is each step going to be accomplished? You're going to talk about the need, but you're going to talk about how you're going to solve that problem, how you're going to address that need. And frankly, sometimes it's step by step by step.
That's right.
It's not necessarily if it's a 1 year grant, it's going to be what you do on each of the days, but it's going to be step by step. How is that going to be implemented? Who's going to be involved? What other resources are needed? Granted, a $3 million check is wonderful, but if you only get 300,000 and you needed 3 million, how are you going to accomplish it?
Where's that
Other resources are
supplemental?
going to
Where's the gap going to
be.
be filled? Yep, absolutely.
And planning for that gap.
Yes, absolutely.
I tell people they have to do this before they start looking for the grants. Because
Okay. You're
go
speaking my
ahead.
language again. There's so many prerequisites. I'll call them prerequisites. I help people start nonprofits. There's prerequisites there. And that's
Exactly.
where I have been trying to introduce new, I'll call them founders, that they have this vision, this individual, or small group that want to start this organization. That's where I plant the seed of start with your program plan, because that will help you visualize and get clarity of what you want to do. And a lot in this community, well, probably all over the country, many people will say, well, go to your small business development center. Most community have. They tell them start with a business plan. They don't have a clue at this
I'd be happy if they had a strategic plan, so
Right.
you can go off
And
of that.
program plan basically is the foundation that gets you to create your strategic plan. If you have a strategic plan, do you necessarily need a business plan? Not necessarily. I'm not,
Depends.
business plan isn't a vital element. Program plan is, so that's my little soapbox that I keep jumping on, that it is that roadmap that will help you get grants and all these other things. Understand, like you just said, you need to know as an organization what it is you're doing, what makes you unique, and be able
Absolutely.
to, and you mentioned this way back early, be able to articulate it, to say what it is, because you don't want to have to guess as a grant writer. I just can't make up stuff.
Oh, those days. Oh, yeah. I'm just
But
making stuff
unfortunately,
up.
so those days are still here for some
They
organizations.
are.
So keep going. I'm sorry. I keep jumping in because I keep hearing these nuggets.
What you say just leads me to the next one, the uniqueness. What makes you unique? What makes the program unique? Or how you plan to solve it. It might be an innovative way of solving it. That helps who's ever searching for the grant or the grant writer you hire know where to find the money. And that goes into the next step. What did I write in my last book? What 20 years ago, when I Google searched the word grants, I'd get, I think, 3 million different hits. Probably when Google came out. Now it's like 385 million to billion, just different hits. So my goodness, you can't weed through that by just even if you were just looking for healthcare grants.
Right.
That
That's not
probably
refined enough.
no, you can't. And to refine it is based on that program plan you were talking about,
Absolutely.
based on how you're innovatively going to do it. Are you going to use technology? Are you going to use remote access? Are you going to tie into people's homes? And that ties into quite a few more options for funding.
Absolutely.
And obviously, when you find the grants, you move into the grant writing process, but you don't want to start that lengthy process if you find a funder who doesn't want to fund or just doesn't prefer to fund services for people in the eastern part of the country versus the western part of the country,
A
or
lot of times we
your
talk
type of
about alignment, that, in the whole grant research area where you're looking for, many organizations will keep the content too broad or generic. And so, yeah, you're going to get a lot alignment on a big, wide expanse, but the more that you can fine-tune, drill down that alignment with a particular grantor, the more they're going to appreciate it.
And the more the increase the likelihood of you being
Yeah,
funded.
that's
Because
right.
exactly, if you just do behavioral health services, they probably get 500 applications from behavioral health agencies.
Right.
Which ones align with their preference of funding youth programs
Yes. Okay.
or funding substance use treatment? If you're prevention, then they only fund treatment. It's not necessary to waste the time writing the grant.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point there. How perceptive would you say most organizations are in actually reading grant RFPs, what the grantors put out, and understanding how to read those RFPs?
I think that then when they see that they're like 80 to 180 pages long for some state and federal grants, that's when they decide to either delegate it to another employee or hire a grant writer. Because I don't have time to read all of this. I don't, and that's true. Those of us that have done this work long enough know we have to read all of those pages. We may not have to read the Freedom of Information Act and the paperwork reduction burden, those types of things. But 90 some percent of those pages have to be read each page so that you don't miss. Are you aligned with the goals of the program? Do you have the ability to do an evaluation? Because that is a huge component today. Can you do that internally? Do you want to budget for someone? Some organizations opt to then budget for someone. Who's that going to be? There's a few grants where you don't have to have that determined right away, but the likelihood of being funded increases when you have set aside
Well, the
and
research,
identified
yeah,
those people.
absolutely. The research is showing that 90% of grantors actually follow and use the framework of the logic model, which has evaluation and all of those elements embedded in it. So, it's not just federal grants that
No,
have
it's not.
a request. These are foundation grants, community grant, private grants, That whole logic model has become the standard, I want to say, because it's a format. It's something that most grantors feel most organizations should understand,
For
and it
sure.
makes it easy for them on their end. They
Once
have.
you do it, you can better understand what you're trying to accomplish, the steps, what's needed for it. I think that people struggle with what's the difference between the objective and the outcomes, and that's a whole nother topic of conversation. But when you don't really understand that, it's either time to learn and have the staff training to learn that, or to hire somebody who knows that. And fortunately, I work in an organization that has somebody who does evaluation all the time, which is wonderful. But really understanding and having the rest of the staff understand why that
And
person is
that's
doing
why I
well,
really
important.
encourage what I call team training. We offer a what is called the logic model team training, where the entire staff, because marketing needs information from it, finances will get information, how much does that program costing? Board recruitment can,
Absolutely.
you can put in there what you're trying to do. It overlaps or supports almost every system in the organization. And many people sort of, I want to say they work in silos.
People do that in the nonprofit world. There's
Yeah,
a
and
huge,
they go, well, I'm
you get
programming.
stuck in that.
Okay, well, I'm marketing. Okay, but you're all integrated. You all need each other, and you all should be communicating. And that's why I love doing the team training, where they're all getting understanding of the framework. Plus, I do a whole end part where it's showing individual marketing. Here's what you use out of here to support what you do. Finance, here's what you use for your implementation strategies. So great. Okay, we've talked about grants and development. What are some of the last things you want to make sure nonprofits understand, whether they're hiring a grant writer, which a lot of times I hope they do,
Sure, I do.
Sometimes they don't need to be using their time that way. They need to save their time for program
Absolutely.
implementation. But what would be maybe two last tips that you want to impart on the nonprofits?
And sort of into wrapping it up is, so when you get the money, don't just think it's just easy. It's
It's
over.
not free
I don't
money.
have to do any. Exactly. Thank you for that. It's not free money. In the fact that it's not that there's nothing left to do then other than spend it. Because you went through, hopefully, did some program planning, developed a program plan. And like I said at the beginning, you worked on that sustainability piece that really ends the whole process, because it's tough to see. It was tough to be in that world, and I always had to prepare for it. When this grant is done, what am I going to do
Yeah,
next?
what's then? Yeah.
What's, and
And
don't,
what if
and
we
not
get no
be
more money for this?
stressing.
You know, what happens to this program? Yeah. Those are fantastic questions that they need to ask a lot of times, even before applying for the grant. You know,
Absolutely.
they need to think about those things. So you mentioned that you have a couple books. You want to throw the names of those books out there?
Well, they were done before technology is what it is today.
Okay.
And so I ended up redoing them. And one of them is on Amazon right now. The other one
Okay.
is coming out soon in my second edition. But the first one that I did just followed these steps. It's a grant writing manual.
Okay.
It's a project planning, grant seeking, grant writing, and program management training manual. And it encompasses that whole process we just talked about, the planning, the writing, the implementing a successful program. And that's like the training we talked about earlier, where it's the intricacies of how to do this, understanding how to do this. The second one, where I was doing the 2-day workshop on that, is the advanced grant writing manual. That one is not out yet.
Okay.
I have the first version. Things have gotten so outdated in the past 20 years with how fast
I
technology
know.
has gone.
Technology is
You
like in a year, everything is outdated.
it was outdated. So I
Yeah.
updated
I mean, I
it. You
wrote this
can't mail
webinar
anything
Secrets, this
anymore.
book back
Yeah,
here
there you
during the pandemic.
go.
It's outdated now. And that was 2020, you know. And I was going through it. I was like, oh, yeah, that's still good information, but it's outdated.
I did
I
that as
have
well.
more that I could tell, you know. So, yes, just, audience or listeners, you can find Stephanie on LinkedIn. You can find her on Facebook. She's on Twitter. I encourage you to reach out if you have questions, to reach out. And, she has 25 years of experience in the grant world. I'm going to call it the grant world because she has been on both sides. She was the nonprofit leader that sought to get grants, and now she's the grant writer that can help other nonprofits. In fact, she even recommended the Kellogg Foundation guide, which
That's
is one of my
absolutely.
Bibles. No, we
That's the
do a lot
Bible.
with the logic model. And as I said, many grant, their biggest challenge or what they tell us is that most organizations are not grant ready. And we encourage them, go through the logic model framework, understand it. And if you want a copy of the original Kellogg, W.K. Kellogg Foundation Evaluation Handbook, or the guide for the logic model, you can get it on our website, which is LMPP, Logic Model Program Planning, lmpp.now.site. I'll make sure I put that in the description. Any last words, Stephanie?
It was so much to talk about. I think it's just what I wanted to always reiterate was good communication
Yes.
and a good teamwork partnership with a grant writer, whether they're internal or external, and you've contracted with somebody. A lot of communication. Don't just think they want you to do all this extra work because the grant writer doesn't want to do it. It is a true partnership to
Yes.
doing this, making it a success.
It's a vital, important element of finding success or reaching successful outcomes. Thank you so much for being on the Nonprofit Corner
Welcome.
podcast. You've been, like I said, dropping golden nuggets all session. So,
God.
Yeah, please reach out to Stephanie Schwartzer Dixon on any of her social media platforms. And this has been the Nonprofit Corner Podcast with your host, Dr. Victoria Boyd.